This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
Hi, this is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. You're listening to WGRN 94.1. And I'm privileged to have the cover boy of Columbus Live in the studio with me, Dan Dugan.
Everybody's working for the weekend. Oh, wait, that was Lover Boy. I'm sorry, I got the wrong.
Mr. Dugan often worked for the weekend during the week.
That's for sure.
When he owned the legendary Stashes and Little Brothers. Since this is the other side of the news, Mr. Dugan.
The other
Dugan,
side, yeah.
What was left off or out of the Alive article?
Pointed out by a woman you know, who I used to be married to, who's still the mother of my son,
who,
Declan.
By the way, used Tracy to write Zollinger for the Turner. Alive, as
yes.
I did, but
correct.
It was owned by the Dispatch bought it, and then
yeah.
What are you
gonna
do?
What are you gonna do? But she had pointed out it didn't necessarily point out how the community itself, and in your case, and in most of our cases, it was the community from the left of the dial, or the left of the cultural center, that it kind of filled that void. And so, for instance, I mean, the benefits were endless, and it's not like we did benefits for the NRA. I mean, there were did benefits against capital punishment that you were involved in, as well as for the Free Press. Lots of Democratic and left-leaning politicians did benefits there. The homeless, the soup kitchen. Hey, we did a benefit for Gretchen's dog, and that was the most liberal dog I think I've ever met. We did benefits to move the damn bar, because we had to when they tore Stashes down. And one of my favorites was eco-feminists. So, we covered a lot of bases.
So there were eco-feminists in the bar. So, yeah, that part isn't in,
they didn't drink much,
in the
but
story.
That's okay.
You actually did peace anti-war benefits as well. In fact, I remember, since very seldom do I ever get on stage and do spoken word, is that
right?
I was down there with Andrew Davis, Mas Bagua.
There you go.
Doing and again, Tony, the guy, dreadlocks, worked at the library.
Right. Dr. X. Yeah.
Dr. X.
Doctor.
Yes, Dr. X, and we actually put out a mini CD. It was all anti-war.
There you go.
Spoken word.
You got it.
Recorded live at Little Brothers.
At Little Brothers. I think I still have the poster, too, that was the one about the, for the volunteer, right?
Right.
Wasn't it? And I do remember also.
Wilford Berry.
Wilford Berry. Yeah, he done a terrible thing. That's, no one should kill another. We all believe that. That was a little tune I wrote. But by the way, it was.
The coroner said that he didn't even kill the guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
the
you
Wilford,
go. There you go.
And I'm talking with Dan Dugan here.
Uh-huh.
And Wilford Berry, as you recall, or maybe you don't because you were at Little Brothers, but Wilford Berry wasn't there. But his story was the state of Ohio actually appointed a clergy that told him Jesus wanted to see him.
Oh, well,
helped
there you
him
go.
With his psalms, so
right.
He would waive his rights. He was both mentally retarded,
right,
and I mean
right,
that in a legal
right.
sense,
yeah.
And brain damage, had an IQ under
yeah,
70.
Right.
In fact,
right.
You could not put him to death today because
right.
of the a later decision by the Supreme Court who just said it's not justice to
right.
take somebody with this low of an IQ. And
precisely. What I do remember also is a television station from Cincinnati coming up and doing a piece.
That was actually in the famous case of
that was another
Johnny
one.
Bird.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Who there was no evidence Bird committed that murder anyway, but Bird made a classic mistake in Cincinnati. And I'm speaking with Dan Dugan here,
right.
Many progressive benefits. When he used to own Little Brothers and Stashes.
Exactly.
But what Bird did is they came to him and said, look, we can only kill one of you. The last guy that rolls over loses.
Oh, boy.
And he stuck to that.
The last guy, okay.
He stuck to that story, which everyone said was true. It was that he was 19, he was drunk, and he was on lewds.
There you go.
He had no record.
Right.
Now, there was an ex-violent felon in the front seat with blood on him and the contents of the cash register in his pocket.
But he rolled over quicker, right? Is that what you're saying?
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. What a way to win the rest of your life, right?
So what do you want to tell me about
that? Well, it was just, again, just, and it wasn't just that we leaned left. It was just we really were kind of one of those community places.
Right? Yeah,
progressive is, yeah, there you go. I mean, ComFest, we used to meet with the entertainment committee there. We used to use the returnable beer bottle cases to hold up the stage, as a matter of fact, to prop up the stage at ComFest.
I like that.
There were lots of shows in which they were involved, too. Also, maybe not everyone remembers, but Mother Jones, or a woman who was portraying Mother Jones, was there at Little Brothers one time.
Well, let's talk about that one, Dan Dugan.
Yeah. That was an odd one.
How did Mother Jones end up, and was that at Little Brothers?
It was a woman who presented the act, and as I remember, it was benefiting something to do, I think, with West Virginia coal miners. And, she came in and put on the costume and assumed the role. And it was riveting. It was amazing stuff. So it wasn't just live music, in other words. Yes, tons of live music, and everybody knows Nirvana played there, and they all claim to have been there and snuck in the back door. Ha! Anyway, so, but there were so many different things we did. I mean, circuses. We did tons of circuses. Owen O'Brien was there all the time, walking wires and stuff. The End of the World Circus,
Not Ron O'Brien, the county prosecutor.
No, Owen. Whose father and mother were in the CIA and ran off to the circus, and then had two boys and raised them while traveling with the circus. Tuven throat singers. I want to just throw out all these different things, just because there's just so many different things we did, and I was unable to really get there in the article in the live. Not that it was a bad article, but I was kind of riveted on making sure I could get across what exactly happened. And then I had the business sold. That felt broke down. Thank you, Mr. Landlord. But hey, 6 months later, it was time to move on, and I couldn't come to terms with him. And so, life ain't always a bed of roses, but it's been all right. And it's a great memory. It's a great, it's been quite an odyssey. And we wanted to talk about the legacy of it. So
Now my memory's fading, but I do remember some obsessive Zydeco period. Am I wrong here?
It wasn't necessarily obsessive. C.J. Chenier, whose father invented it, played about once every year, every other year. Buckwheat Zydeco came through a number of times. And Chubby Carrier played. And Terrence Simeon, who just played downtown at a free show. Also, we did it because, I love Louisiana music. And a lot of stuff out of Texas. A lot of three-name songwriters out of Texas, like Jimmy Dale Gilmore.
I remember
Ray Wiley Hubbard, who just played over at Woodlands. And even two names like Joe Ely, for instance. Or Billy Joe Shaver, back to another three.
Uh-huh.
So, we did all kinds of different things. A lot of people remember rock, and that's great. But there were so many different things that went on there, it's kind of mind-boggling when I sit down and put that list together. Jerry Springer was there, by the way, to get back
Jerry
to politics.
Springer.
To get back to
that,
politics.
That is
we
politics.
Had Jerry. Jerry. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Why would Dan Dugan have a Jerry Springer at his establishment?
That's a good question. Why was he? Oh, wait. No? I want to say it had something to do with Sierra Club, but that's not right, is it? Maybe that's what we benefited?
Yeah.
Anyway, he was there during political season one time. Maybe Obama's first run. No, that wouldn't be right, because I don't think I was there. No, it would have been probably 2004 during the president. That's what it seems to
me. John Kerry.
Yes, and also on 2004, Chuck D was in on the night of the election, just hanging out. He came to Columbus, Ohio to go to Little Brothers because he was asked to. I was surprised it was him because he'd never played there, performed there. And he signed my pirate hat. It says, "We are family."
Oh, I remember you telling me about
that.
Yeah,
it's a prized possession. So
I'm speaking with Dan Dugan, former owner of Stashes and Little Brothers. I have this weird memory, and it may be false.
Not you,
lead,
Bob.
Lead singer or, you know, front man for the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
I'm thinking it
Billy
was...
Billy Corgan.
Yeah, Billy Corgan. I'm thinking it was Stashes.
That's where they played. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Sure. And
how did you,
did
yeah,
he or...
Yeah, yeah. But well, it was, it was in, after the Pumpkins had become famous.
No, not really.
Oh, they...
They were... see, we in the underground kind of looked at Nirvana as one of us, or Soundgarden as one of us. For some reason, the Pumpkins weren't necessarily, but they were. You know, they were an alt-rock band who just happened to make it big, and, you know, they were a good band. They're still a good band. You know, Black Keys and White Stripes. And we go on and on dropping names about those kind of bands.
Was it Pixies or
definitely Smashing.
Or just
both.
The Sisters.
But,
oh, both, okay.
And the Throwing Muses, to add another Boston-based, one of those bands from that era. Yeah, sure. Pixies and Breeders. Breeders came through with their dad. They were, you know, I think it was the first date, first show. They lived in Dayton. This
right.
was after the Boston, and the two sisters and the father were in this big RV. They were either headed home or just hitting the road. I can't remember which. And that was great. So it just goes on. Oh, by the way, burlesque shows. I think we were pretty much the first to repeatedly do burlesque shows. Tasteful, of course, burlesque shows.
Pasties?
Of course, absolutely. Although I don't know about the Suicide Girls. I'm not sure they were
Bumping
following
Brian.
The law entirely. And neither was Gigi Allen, but we won't even go there.
Talking to Danny Dugan here, former owner of Stashes and Little Brothers. God, what was the woman who was hanging around with Jello Biafra?
Lady Monster. She did poetry there. There were often poets doing things on the stage at benefits, maybe open for a spoken word kind of thing. I even had a homeless fella play a harmonica opening for Henry Rollins on a spoken word. But yes, Lady Monster was involved. I don't think the Dead Kennedys or Jello Biafra performed at either one of the venues, but maybe that was a little before that time. I'm not sure. You'd have to ask Kurt Schieber, who kind of carried the ball for a really long time in the rock department, as well as several other different genres. So, yeah, good old Lady Monster.
You and Kurt got along well?
Oh, yeah. I just did his show the other day, as a matter of fact, on, you know, that one of them other radio stations. So, but we also did a lot of theme things like Divathon, which was basically women's music, Dogathon, songs about dogs. Oh, and of course, the Elvisathon started there, and finally, I think it ran out of gas over at Scully's a few years ago. But as well as other tributes, Ramones, and of course, there's something that I also forgot to mention that we had every Christmas and other events. We even had a St. Paddy's Day one year, which was Trash Fest, which is almost too hard to describe. It's sort of people's attempt to be as absurd as you could be. Like we would do the old Jewish men, and we did a reggae band called Oital, for instance. Anyway, for the homeless.
But there wasn't... an old Jewish band, Gefilte Joe and the Fish.
Of course.
I think it was on Rhino Records. With such lines as, across the street, the shiksa was undressing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did a Leonard Skinner thing, Leonard for Skinner. So it was no free bird. It was absurd. And then there was the lounge singer, Ned Reckman, who was really Jim Casta. Part of that. And Kurt Schieber used to play a tuba in one of those bands.
You're listening to The Other Side of the News, WGRN 94.1. And I'm in the studio with Dan Dugan.
Howdy.
Former notorious owner of
look
Stashes and Little Brothers. I don't know what you were notorious for, but many
running a loud music club, I don't know. You know, being one of them guys.
Well, here's the key question. I mean, what was the capacity at Stashes?
We're not going to talk. Well, it's already gone, right? Well, it was, you have to keep in mind, when Stash and Little Brother opened it, it was a restaurant. So there was a kitchen in there, and there was lots of tables, and there was more, it was cramped more. There was a wall that went right down the middle between the two rooms, et cetera, et cetera. So I give you 138. And we would pack in about 300 people. And it was crazy. And when I moved to Little Brothers, I'd learned my lesson. We had a 400 capacity, and we never put over 400 people in there. Har, har. But anyway.
But Little Brothers actually
things get crowded.
Bigger than that for some reason.
Little Brothers was much bigger, yeah. And you mean think bigger than 400.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can pack 300 in the stashes. I had, like I said, I kind of felt I learned my lesson. There may have been a few shows at Little Brothers overpacked, but not usually. Stashes, though, oh boy. Some of those Royal Crescent Mob shows. Heck, they did a whole week there, the Mob did, just in trying not to go to the Newport.
And did any of Willie Phoenix's bands?
Willie made it there a number of times. And guys like Ray Fuller, who were just, talk about part of the community. Ray Fuller, who, I don't know if everybody knows this, and I don't know if Ray's a little shy about it, but when Willie Pooch, the great blues man, passed away, there wasn't enough fund for the funeral, and Ray Fuller took the checkbook out and helped send Willie off in style. So, you know, that kind of thing. Those kind of people. Salt of the earth as you can. Donna McGavero, who, talk about benefits. She was on so many shows. Cause she's always got her heart out there. You know,
played more benefits than anyone in the history of the city.
I think so. I think she should get a medal or something. A big hug. How's that? Yeah, I love Donna.
Yeah, so. She was. And again, briefly there, she, I think, went down to Nashville. And
well, everybody goes down there sooner or later, right?
What do they do down there? You're a music musician yourself.
I write some songs, but you know, I'm not a professional, thank God.
Yeah, you wrote one of the Free Press's favorites.
The song about Bush. El Salvador?
That's right. They one of the great metaphors for mass murder.
Yes, how's the weather in El Salvador? That's right, down in El Salvador. But no, you're going to say about what do they do in Nashville? They go down there and they realize how damn tough the music business is.
I bet in Nashville.
Sometimes they come back home.
Some people tell me you have to pay to play in certain
bars
and venues down there.
Well, that's how LA has been for a very long time. So it's tough. It's a tough game, the music business. It really is. So as far as I was concerned, doing more variety was always a good thing for me. I mean, you know, there was thrash and trash and punk and funk and alt and emo and swing and country and jazz and blues and Celtic and folk and anything else I left out. Yeah, again, circuses.
Circuses?
Circuses, end of the world circus. Bindlestiff Circus. They featured a 6'5" bunny rabbit, almost Harvey size. He was a very interesting man.
But didn't he get along well with Pete Wade, the legendary bassist from UFO?
He did arrive and made it through a show, and that was impressive. I know you guys are real tight with it, or were at some point, but what I thought was best was when he played Lights Out twice in about 12 minutes.
Why didn't you simply tell him if he would have told him?
That's not my job, Bob. I was back by the door and we were holding our sides. God bless him.
Well, he was one of the models.
Oh, my. Yeah. I saw Jerry Lee Lewis do that at the Newport, too, and he thought he was in Cleveland. But so there you go. We have Root Boy Slim. Do you remember his hit, Rich White Republican? That man.
Root Boy Slim.
Got any drugs? I said, what are you looking for? He goes, what do you got? You mean I got a choice? Yeah, buddy. I liked it when Gate Mouth Brown, classic, old school musician, man, played blues, jazz, all kinds of things. He had his own tobacco and other mixture. And there was a blues fan wearing a tie who was upset that the room smelled funny. And I said, somebody's smoking something odd here. And I went, it's the man on the stage. Go talk to Mr. Brown.
I like it because Pete Way literally was one of the role models for Spinal Tap.
Yes,
but you've got weirder stories
from real
and others from your venues.
Yeah,
have you ever thought about putting together I hear you know book, someone who might write, putting together some of the anecdotes.
Well, I tell you, first of all, I highly recommend the book that Joe from Watershed put out called Hitless Wonders. If anybody hasn't read that, you want to read a great book about what it's like in the old music business. It's a hilarious book. Hey, they opened for the Insane Clown Posse for about 6 shows.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, et cetera. Great stuff. And so recently, Brian Lucey, who's...
ICP!
There you go. Who's got Grammy from working with the Black Keys as a producer. He's been bugging me saying, you know, man, do a book. So I don't know. I don't know if I have the patience. I know this other celebrity stuff I've been doing ain't paying very well, so maybe I should try. Who knows?
Well, I recall that Willie Phoenix was really pushing the young Watershed. He thought they were going to be...
They did get signed. They had, like a lot of Columbus bands, they got somewhere. Not always as big as 21 Pilots or OAR, Of a Revolution, which my understanding was that was shiny shoes, slick back hair, and really smelly cologne. The Revolution that they were talking about. But anyway, it got the chicks. They were rock stars. There have been a number of bands from Columbus get signed, get a chance. Doesn't always mean they'll make it. I mean, we thought the Mob was going to be huge.
Well, you know.
And Skrull would at least have a career, so... Even the New Bomb Turks looked like they had, you know, some kind of career in the rock game. So,
and Ronald Cole, did he?
I love Ronald. Yeah, he
Tell
played the
it.
Venue. Well, the first time I owned it that he played, we had problems with the PA. I could blame a certain man named Gabor, but I won't, because I love
Gabor
Mr.
Klein.
Gabor Klein. But there was problems with the PA involving the snake. And the plugs needed, and they didn't really start playing. They'd already canceled the opening act, and they didn't start playing until about 1 o'clock at night. And I was at the point where I was going to say, Ronald, just grab a. I'm going to grab a microphone. I'm going to plug you into an amp here, mic it to the system, and you're just going to start doing something. And finally, they got the PA going, and they got it going. And Mr. Cole took to saying unkind things from the stage about the new management, and so he said, "Hey, don't." Quit your job, make them fire you. So I was standing behind the stack, and the crowd couldn't see me, and I yelled out, Ronald, you're fired. Monday morning, I come to the bar, and there had been the previous owner, Pete Herman. He was some kind of circus act himself with a golf club and a mean attitude. But anyway, he had put flyers, stapled them on the front of the building. There's all these staples. I come there Monday morning, Ronald Cole was out there, the great big old pair of pliers, pulling the staples out. I said, Ronald, what are you doing? He goes, Penance. And then they continued to play there because I loved Ronald. He was a great guy. He really was. And a heck of a talent. Sorry he's gone. And another talent just passed away. A guy that sang many, many times, like Smoking Section, Men of Leisure. Gaylord Dubois just passed away the other day. So many great memories of listening to him. So, yep. Yeah, definitely. There was some great stuff that went on in this community. Some real good stuff. And it was fun to be part of it. It certainly was.
So. What do you miss about it?
Oh, pretending I'm a rock star. No, just the people. I don't miss the people when they're really drunk and can't handle it. Bela, are you listening? That's all right. Bela's a very sober and good parent these days, but I remember him being a promoter for shows, and I would basically have to pick him up, put him out the back door, and then go pay the bands for his shows.
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but we had the Free Press Libby Awards.
I meant to mention the award. It's somewhere in my notes here.
Course,
Thank you.
You were given 30 for 30.
Is that what it was?
It was our 30th anniversary, and you received one of the Libby Awards.
It ended up on the wall, yes.
Yes.
Libby was... You want to talk about Libby and where
did
that comes from?
Libby?
A little bit. Not enough. And she was worked with the store Byzantium. And go ahead, you tell. You please.
Well, she was great, entrepreneur. She started a lot of these.
And she was an activist. She was a business owner.
She was the editor of the Free Press. She kept it alive.
There we go.
Her and John Quigley. There would be no Free Press today.
And folks, there would
not kept it alive during the lean years of the Reagan years.
And there would be no Free Press today if it wasn't for Bob Fitrakis and his lovely wife Suzanne. And I want to make sure that's very clear.
And one of the reasons we did the show, of course, is because when I read the article, it was like, it was cool as hell on music.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking they're leaving a lot off
more.
The other half, which the other side of the news, which is how much community,
right,
progressive activity you've done over
the
years.
Was there.
You never shied away from controversial
not me.
Peace and justice issues.
I'll open my big mouth and step forward. Yeah. All right, then. You got it, man. It was a kick. It definitely was. Them's were slightly different times, but there are lots of great venues in town now. The music scene goes on, and community festival goes on, and, you know, in spite of a few bumps and bruises here and there, we're all still making it somehow in this here America.
So, you know? I mean, the key question is...
Can't trump that, right?
How in the hell did you get so many, you know, huge bands...
Once
and
you
come
have
there when they were
because
unknown.
They're not always big. That's the thing, and I didn't know. I don't, you know, I didn't propose to know. There are some bands I booked them, and I'm assured it's going to be sold out by a radio station or the agent, and it doesn't happen. And other bands come up boom out of nowhere, and where'd all these people come from? Great, you know, as long as people are coming out. I told people over and over again. It's like if people will pay to see your band. Buy some of your product, continue to pay to see your band, and you get a career out of this, you make a living out of it, you're mighty lucky. Because it is an unbelievable tough game. But what I was going to say about, and answer your question, you know I do digress. But if you prove the ability to put your money out there and gamble, which is what it really is, on talent, more talent will find its way to your door. So.
Last couple of minutes, who's the most talented person that really never made it or remains out there in the shadows?
Happy Chichester.
Oh, I was going to say, I love Happy.
And he's so talented.
The, you know,
and he's an effortless musician. He struggled through some years with
his... And his wife is an angel.
Yes,
Laura. I saw her at community festival. I knew she'd been going through some hard times. So,
yeah, that's
all
true.
All the best from the Free Press.
And, right.
I thought he was... A sure shot.
Yes.
I mean, no.
As a matter of fact,
I think he was the most talented guy I've seen in the city.
I think so too. When you know, that's who I would say. When he went from the Royal Crescent Mob to Hal and Maggie, his agent told me everything is lined up for this band. I'm sure this band is going to make it, and who knows why they did. But there's two other individuals I'd like to mention really quickly. Guitar player John Bursler. Who suffered through some tough health problems. I don't know a better guitar player than John Bursler. See him while he's still with us. God bless him. And Jim Casto, I don't know a better drummer than Big Jim Casto. So, you know, that's what I can say. There's a lot of great talent in this town. Oh, and I might mention Tim Easton. I don't know of any songwriters who deserve better to have a real career. Or Megan Palmer. Hey, see, I could go on and on. There's a lot of talent in Columbus.
We got about 30 seconds. Maybe a few more names. Danny Dugan.
Drop more names. 21 Pines. I don't even know those guys.
You know,
I think it's great. There's a whole new scene coming, and I don't even know it. That's what I like.
But Bob Sauls.
There's another great songwriter.
How in the hell could somebody be that talented and really...
Yeah. It's hard to predict. And so and the thing is, too, someone would say, is anybody good coming? And I'm like, well, what do you mean good? And sometimes they mean cool, and sometimes it's just what they like, they think is good, and that should make it. And it doesn't always, but hey.
All right, we're out of time. Dan Dugan, I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a whole lot, guys.
And again, Bob Fitrake is bringing you the other side of the news.